We are so privileged to have here, all the way from the city of, from the northern part of Nigeria, to the rest of the world. Now, all the welcome, Apostle Joshua Seman.
Hallelujah. Yes, the name of the Lord. I sincerely want to honor our Father, Daddy Wale Uke, and all our fathers here present. It's an honor to be here. My sincere apologies for the flight delays. We trust that God is helping our nation. In Jesus' name I pray. I have a very brief charge. My assignment is very simple. Just a few minutes to charge our hearts, and then we'll pray. I do not take lightly this opportunity that God has provided. A few minutes to charge our hearts on a thought that has it's a contemplation that has been in my heart for a very long time. And it represents, please be seated, God bless you. It also represents my passion and my call. I love the body of Christ, and we have learned from our fathers to cultivate passion for God and for the body on that wise. Ephesians chapter 4, when you read from verse 13, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us how that on account of God's desire to have the body become united and in stature. Ephesians 4, verse 13. He gave unto some apostles and prophets, the Bible says, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to the end that we come to a state that the Bible calls the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The first thing I wrote here, and I may want us to pay attention to, is that there are dimensions of God that cannot be captured and hosted by any single individual. No matter how anointed, no matter how yielded, no matter how submissive, there are dimensions of God that were never designed to be hosted and revealed by a single individual. It will take the corporate body to be able to reveal such dimensions. In as much as our individual press towards God, like we've learned from our Father, is very important, there are certain dimensions of God from Scripture and even from modern history that single individuals cannot carry and they cannot reveal until the body comes together. The Bible talks about the priests who held the ark. As individuals, they were priests, but no single one of them could carry the whole ark on his own. It took all of them as a united force to hold that ark. And it was the presence of that ark that brought the immunity to reveal all the dimensions of God. The principle of interdependence was invented by God, his own intelligence, to force the body. So when the Bible says we see in part and we prophesy in part, that means no matter how aligned we are, God's refusal to show off all of him is intentional to force us to depend on one another within the body. Are we learning now? This is very, very important. And I wrote here very quickly for the sake of the time that I have, four keys that I have learned that can help the body of Christ. Now, I've listened to several messages by well-intentioned men and even women of God teaching on the unity of the faith, the unity of the body. And I believe that there is such a state, and I believe that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will come into that state that the Bible calls the unity of the faith. But most times we just propose that possibility, and most times preachers may not do well in showing the steps that can help believers attain unity. I believe that unity is very possible. Let me even say it here, that unity is not uniformity. We do not have to do the same thing to be one. Unity talks of being driven by the same purpose, the same drive, the same intention. Are we together? Four keys very quickly. Key number one, genuine love, love for God and love for men. It is in men. For reference, please just write this. We may not have the time. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7 to 12. Then 16 to 21. And then John 13, 35. Let's look at Romans 12, 10 at least. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference one to another. It is true that you can love God, and it takes another kind of understanding to also love men. Unity becomes impossible when there is no genuine love. Even when there is power, unity will not be possible until and unless there is love. Genuine love for God and genuine love for men is the first biblical key that can help the body of Christ to attain the unity of faith. Number two, which is very important here, I wrote mutual honor. This is a very serious one, because I believe, in my opinion, that this is grossly missing across the body of Christ. The key word is mutual. Same Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Then it says, in honor, preferring one another, giving preference to one another. What is honor? I define honor as the discerning, the celebrating, and where applicable, the rewarding of an individual for their unique contribution and for their uniqueness. It is impossible to attain unity when we downplay, demean, trivialize the contribution of others in the body. There is nobody I know who will not rejoice when people come to you to celebrate what God has done and is doing in your life. No matter how limited you must be, I am convinced, as a man of God, using ministry as a reference, that everybody who names the name of Christ is doing his or her best, regardless the limitations in capacity. It is true that we are limited in capacity, like our Father has taught us. The truth of the matter is that certain people have pressed into God greater than others. There are people who have opened themselves to the body of Christ to learn. However, the truth still remains that everybody is doing the best they know to do. It is impossible to attain unity when we make it a culture to downplay, demean, and trivialize the unique contribution of others. It is very true, I cannot downplay your contribution, demean you, make it look like you are not making a significant contribution, and then expect unity. One of the principal reasons why there is disunity in the body of Christ is the pain that comes from people who have been aggrieved because their unique contributions have been downplayed. In exalting what others are doing, we must not destroy what others are doing. Hallelujah. Mutual honor. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, you may write for reference. Working with time, my apologies. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, honor all men. New King James here says, honor all people. And then it says, love the brotherhood. It says, fear God. Then it says, honor the king. There are two people who are deserving of honor from this scripture. Honor all men. And then honor the king. The narrative, as far as disunity is concerned, I believe will begin to change when we make it a culture to have a healthy respect for the sacrifices and the spiritual investments that men of God, music ministers, businessmen, everybody who sincerely names the name of Christ and is contributing, no matter how small and no matter how great, is deserving of honor. And to be vocal, to be unashamed, do not see what God is doing and trivialize it and act it away. For instance, there are people who see our fathers, just like our father, Baba Wale Oke, coming here. And for many people, you can hear of the sacrifices and the stories, but for some reason, especially sadly, the younger generation, we have cultured ourselves into trivializing the sacrifices of people. We downplay sacrifice and ignore it. Never see what is deserving of honor and ignore it. You must be able to discern. Honor is based on discernment. To discern dimensions of God that are available in the body but not available in your life. It takes honor to receive. Number three, for sake of time. The third key that I believe will help to build the unity of faith in the body is called forbearance. Forbearance. This is a very powerful one. Forbearance. Colossians chapter 3, very quickly, from verse 12 and 13. Forbearance. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Next verse. It says, do I have it here? Okay. Bearing with one another. New King James says that. King James says, forbearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Let me tell you the difference between forgiveness and forbearance. Forgiveness has to do with administering pardon over a default. Forbearance means creating an accommodation for that limitation because it will happen again. We need to move past the realm of forgiveness to the realm of forbearance. There are people whose weaknesses are not acts. It is framed in their personality. And we have to create a system of adjustment and accommodation. In as much as we fight licentiousness, in as much as we fight everything that is anti-God, a man who speaks fast will most likely remain fast forever. There are people easily inclined to pride. There are people easily inclined to talking so much about themselves. Most of them may be victims of background. We must create a system of accommodation. Forbearance is a necessary requirement. I can tell you one truth. When John was caught up in the Isle of Patmos, he said, I heard a voice. And when he turned to see that voice, he saw seven lampstands. And that lampstand we understand to be the perfect church, the Catholic, the universal church. He said, in the midst of the lampstand, I saw one like the face of the Son of Man. In the midst of the confusion and the limitations of men, Jesus is still there. He said, in the midst of the lampstand, if you search for Jesus in every assembly, you will find him. You will find everything you are looking for. If you are searching for problems, you will find it there. If you are searching for limitations, you will find it there. But if you search for Jesus in the midst of the lampstands, his face is still there. Forbearance. Sometimes we have to be careful with some of the godlike expectations that we bring towards people. We are dealing here with the world of men. Men who have come from backgrounds. Others have been beaten. Others, I'm not accommodating limitations. Our Father has challenged us to grow. But I can tell you, the best of us will still remain a man. There has to be forbearance. Hallelujah. Are we learning? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus is teaching now. And he made a statement that is very, very instructive. And Matthew chapter 5. Oh dear. Did I get that? Is it verse 7 now? Blessed are the merciful. Please help me look for it. For they shall obtain mercy. 7. Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful. He teaches here that mercy is a harvest. And you do not qualify for it if you did not sow it. Mercy is a harvest. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Give people a chance to grow. Give people a chance to know God. Our fathers have been patient with us as the younger ones, and we must be able to communicate the same to those who God is helping. Give people a chance to wean themselves off the backlog of decades of pain and disappointment from their backgrounds. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies those he calls. Hallelujah. We need forbearance. Otherwise, we will keep having reasons to hate and fight one another, to hate and fight denominations. The truth is that we will never do the same thing. We may never, our spiritual growth and our contribution to the body of Christ is not only dependent on the assignment God has given us. It's dependent on our levels of alignment. It's dependent on our perception. Sadly, there are people who are not interested in transformation, but they are still part of the body. We must have to create a system. There are people who are ever determined to be transformed. So we have to be careful to not be judgmental over sermons. I believe our assignment is to teach the truth as committed to us by God. But in teaching truth, remember, it is always grace and truth. Truth alone becomes dangerous. Truth must be garnished with that awareness. Grace and truth. Hallelujah. Chances are excellent that if I come from a background that was full of demons and I have physical deformities and injuries to attest to the fact that demons are alive, you're not going to preach me into downplaying the presence of demons. I have a history that reminds me that the devil is there, and it will, that bias will be represented in my teaching. Now, if you come from a background where you have experienced favor and lifting, God has surrounded you with prepared blessings, it will alter your own perception too. We have to create, making me to give up everything I believe, it may not be realistic. The better approach is to create forbearance. The same God is seated in heaven and he listens to all of us. Let's learn from him. Forbearance. Hallelujah. I have a few minutes. My time is up. This is a charge. So number one, genuine love. Love for God and love for men. If you love God and you hate men, the Bible says you are a hypocrite. Number two is mutual honor. The key word again, mutual. Don't be the one receiving honor and not communicating it. I am broken every time I hear our fathers, particularly our father, Baba Wale Oke. I've had the honor and the privilege to minister in meetings where he also came to minister. And I am amazed when I see him even honoring sons. And I'm like, you don't have to do this. You are a father. And yet it's a lesson for us to learn. You can't be the only one receiving honor. When people celebrate your ministry, celebrate the hand of God, psychologically, you deserve or demand that there has to be reciprocity. You must look back and tell him, I appreciate what God is doing. You will hardly criticize what you celebrate. And then forbearance, this is a very serious one. Everyone will need to forbear, and everyone will need mercy and forbearance communicated towards you. The condition to need mercy is just to live long enough. That's all. The moment you live long enough, sooner or later, there will be a reason for you to need mercy and to need forbearance. Are we together? And finally, the final key that I believe will help the body of Christ, even in our precious nation, to attain unto a level of unity is the ministry of intercession. Intercession is a very powerful ministry. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Intercession is very powerful. Intercession stems from two foundations. Number one, love for people. Number two, the awareness that nothing happens on earth until the saints are in charge. The heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, he says, and the earth has he given to the sons of men. So intercession is predicated upon the fact that if anything will happen on earth, men have to be in partnership with God to make that happen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3 as we get ready to pray. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Brethren, pray for us. We are men of God. We have been committed the grace and apostleship, but pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us. It is important that we pray for one another, because you see, every anointing, there are demon spirits that don't look for men. They look for anointings. You have no business receiving an attack from such construct except for the anointing you carry. If you are Elijah, Jezebel is coming. If you are Abraham, you see, the kind of mantle and the grace you carry determines. There are people who it is cheaper and wiser for the devil to attack them than to attack 1,000 other people, because they represent the loyalty and the spiritual understanding of those people. Inasmuch as we are all called into ministry, the truth is we do not function at the same level of grace. You must pray. The devil will attempt to attack people in their health. The devil will attempt to attack people in their finances, just like our father was sharing. You imagine 2 days to have a meeting in Russia and a thief comes. I can tell you that thief was not just a normal thief. Are we together? We must spend time to intercede for one another. This idea of individualism, whilst the trouble has not reached me, is none of my business. You face it there with your God. Do not make the mistake of Esther, because Haman is not after Mordecai alone. Haman is after the entire Jews. He wants to start with Mordecai, but Satan does not stop with Mordecai. So the moment you see that something is happening to another denomination, another man of God, don't stand in pride and safety believing you are secured. The pain of one, you see, let me tell you, if I win and the body loses, we lost. If the body wins and I lose, we lost. We only win when we win together. And the least we can do to one another, especially at these end times, is to pray. Pray. If you can't give, pray. If you can't encourage, pray. We must pray for our leaders. In the PFN here, we must pray for our father. We must pray for everyone who names the name of Christ. Has God helped us tonight? Till we attain the unity of faith. Till we attain the unity of faith. Let's rise up on our feet and pray. Four prayer points in one, and we're going to cry to the Lord, mentioning this one by one and obtaining grace. It says, now that ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. Let's obtain grace from God in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's obtain grace from God. Grace to love the Lord and to love the brethren. Grace to love the Lord and to love the brethren. Let's pray for the grace that to discern, grace to celebrate, and grace to a nation across Africa. Someone pray. Fortitude to create business world limitations for politicians. We must create a system of accommodation. Finally, obtain grace from God to intercede. Lord, the grace to stand in the gap and pray. The grace to stand in the gap and pray. It says the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much. We obtain grace to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We obtain grace to pray. And now in the presence of our fathers, we obtain the grace that has kept them. The grace that pushed them through. The grace that granted them capacity to remain. We obtain it in the name of Jesus Christ.